Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back to hour number two of Jim's Greater Outdoors. If you're just joining the program tonight, I got two special guests on air with me. I've got Ben Martin. He's a member of the National Bird Dog Hall of Fame. He's championed more than 60 dogs during his career. He's got four national championships to his credit. And at his kennels, Royal Kennels up in Franklin, Ohio, he's whelped four national champions. In other words, his bloodlines that he's developed and through the years have produced four national champions. I also have Kurt Oliver, Dr. Kurt Oliver. He's the owner at Linden Animal Clinic. You hear his ads on the program. And Kurt's been in practice for more than 36 years, so these gentlemen can answer about any type of question there is about dogs. And in that regard, Ben, I want to lead off with you because we ran out of time there running against news break. I want you to talk about gun shyness, how people make mistakes that can cause it, ways you've seen to try to, you know, turn dogs around if they're not too far over the cliff with that particular behavior pattern.
Yeah, the best way, Jim, on the gun shy is to avoid it to begin with. You get one that's really gun shy, you're just in trouble. There's something I wanted to mention a while ago about that. There's a tape out. It's cassette tape that I have. I think they probably have that on a CD now, but it's a gun shyness tape. And I've had some luck with the darn thing. Now, you know, gun shyness, there's several phases of it. If you've got the early stage and just starting, you got a shot. If you get to where they run to the car when they see the gun or something like that, you might as well move on to another dog. And that's because it's going to be more heartache than it's worth. And I just had an English pointer here. Something I've done since I quit taking dogs in to train is I take people and their dogs in and do lessons with them. And we're outside, and the guy's pointer was so well behaved, I couldn't believe it. And he's an ER doctor, and I think that has a part in the problem. And but the dog got to blinking the bird a little bit, and I thought it was gun shyness because we had done a couple of things, or the crowd had, that wasn't quite right. And so I'm kind of treating and working towards getting him used to the gun, you know, firing a cap gun and a blank gun and all that. Well, the one day there, I saw him circle back behind the guy, away from the bird, and he finally got a decent point on it. We got a bird and started throwing it, and I'm shooting the blank gun from a distance, and he will not retrieve at all. Like five times, no retrieve. And I said, I noticed this collar I'd never seen before, a little flat E collar. Well, E collar, folks, means electric, and stimulation means I shocked him. So I said, have you got that collar on him? He said, yeah, but I haven't hit him with it. I said, I used just the vibration. And like I said in the beginning, there's a very well-behaved pointer. I said, take that off of that dog. And so help me, the next four birds he retrieved that we threw. So, you know, a word of caution with these things. I don't know, they've become so popular, and there's some people, and most of them are pros that I know that are good with them, and there's some people that I know that are horrible with them. They're not a get-even, and they're not to be used, you know, just indiscriminately for everything. You know, if you got a particular problem, like the dog peeing in a particular room, you might use it for that. But you can't use it for everything. So you take your best shot, I guess. And I've been sitting here. I made a note of it because I tend to forget stuff anymore. But I wanted to make sure that I got that out there. The dog was blinking the birds because the doctor, who is used to perfection, was demanding perfection. And when he wasn't getting it, he was doing the stimulating or shocking the dog. So that was, I really want to say that. But okay. Gun shyness is best avoid it and work up to it, you know. You know, shooting noises, beating on a bowl when their litter is together young and making noises all the way up. That's, you know, that's kind of the way to avoid stuff. That's the best way to train dogs, is avoid the problem, always being in control. And like they say, an attorney, never ask a question he don't already know the answer to. Well, that's kind of a thing you do with dog training. Never get in a particular situation that you know you can't control.
So. Well, Ben, to your point, I know with all my dogs, whether they were coonhounds, rabbit dogs, bird dogs, probably the most sensitive dog I've ever had to sound is my current dog, Foxy, a squirrel dog. Her hearing is so acute that it's unbelievable. As a puppy, I took great pains to just make errant noises around her, and she'd run from them. You know, she'd be skittish, but I'd just go about my business like nothing was wrong. I'd make noise when I fed her. I made noise when I let her in and out of the door, and she got acclimated to, I guess, sounds that were very, very harsh to her. And I did have one particular scenario when I shot the first squirrel out to her. I did it with a .22 rifle with a low-velocity bullet, you know, a subsonic bullet. But, boy, she didn't like that. And luckily for me, the squirrel tumbling out of the tree caught her attention on her way away from me, and she returned to, you know, to worry that dead squirrel, and she kind of got past it. But to your point, making noise around dogs when they're very young and teach them that there's nothing to be afraid of, I think's the real key. And then don't start shooting over them as a young dog up close and personal by any means. I know you progressed them from cap pistol to .22 to shotgun, as I recall, don't you?
I have done that, but for the most part, you know, I got a truck that holds 10 dogs, and they're at the training grounds and hear all the shooting. But I treat every dog like it's never heard a noise when I start. And the key, just like the squirrel, is with bird dogs, get them good and birdie, and that'll be your ticket out of this. And I start shooting from a distance. You know, I'm an exaggerated 100 yards away, and have somebody throw a bird, or I'll throw a bird and have them shoot. And you know, you close the distance gradually. And if you see any hitch in the thing, you know, the dog drops his tail or whatever, if you see any hitch in the giddy-up, I guess you'd say, during that process, then you back up and start from a distance again. But, main thing is to get them what they call prey drive. You know, if they got a lot of prey drive, you can make a few mistakes and get away with it. And that gun shyness tape, it works.
How does somebody access that? Do you recall who the...
I would say online, Rita.
What?
The gun shyness tape. How do they get that? Is that...
Go on Gun Dog Supply.
Gun Dog Supply. Yeah, they have it.
Gun Dog Supply has it, and it's a had a, what do you remember the title? Or can you, I tell you what, confer with Rita.
The Gunshine
Estate. Pardon?
Gunshine Estate. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, just pull in Gunshine, dog Gunshine tape, and it'll come
up
in the search, and it'll come
okay.
up on Gun Supply.
Yeah, she just threw it up.
And it's on, again, the site?
Gun Dog Supply.
Yeah.
Gun Dog Supply?
Yes.
Very good. All right, fellas, I got to go to a quick break here. The number is to reach these gentlemen tonight if you have any questions or problems with your dogs. 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. This break is presented by SMI Marine. They're located on Westport Road just north of the Gene Snyder. Got all kind of Stark Craft pontoons and deck boats, Falcon bass boats, and they're the new low aluminum boat dealer in the area. Go see them. I promise they'll take great care of you. And remember, you'll never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors again, talking all things dogs tonight. If you want to call in, call us at 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. And that's exactly what Gary from Shively did. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Doing just fine, Jim.
All right, so what do you got for us?
Got a dog that's got an abscess tooth. And I'm giving her 500 milligrams of amoxicillin. And I was wondering if I could give, can you give a dog an aspirin?
Well, aspirin's not the best thing. There are things that are far better. I mean, in a pinch, I mean, I've used it on occasion, you know, just, you know, one dose or so, one or two doses. You don't give it any more than twice a day. But, you know, there are things that, you know, your vet will have that are, you know, that are far safer. I mean, with aspirin, you run into problems with GI ulceration, things like that. You know, there's a carprofen is one that's for dogs that's kind of my first line, you know, for something like that. You know, the amoxicillin itself, just clearing, you know, helping with the abscess itself will go a long way to relieving any discomfort. But that tooth eventually will probably have to come out. You know, they get an abscess, you can kind of get it quieted, but it'll probably flare again, you know, at some point in the future. So, I mean, my recommendation would be if they put him on the amoxicillin, then, you know, just, and the problem is with dogs and dental disease is they have to be under anesthesia to really do anything. There's not many dogs that'll, you know, sit on the table and open their mouth and say, ah. So you have to sedate them, and then you get the dental x-rays and you see how affected the root of the tooth is. But, you know, if it's affected, then the best thing to do is just go ahead and get rid of it, and then it'll all resolve, and the dog will be far more comfortable.
Gary, to that point, and Kurt, back me up on this, and Ben, bad tooth problems in dogs eventually leads to infection in their blood.
Correct.
Ends up killing them. Heart congestion.
Kidneys, excuse me. And it's amazing how dogs, you know, they can't tell you how they really feel, and you don't realize how bad they can be feeling until you resolve the problem. And then a week after you resolve it, you're like, I mean, you see the change, and it's remarkable in some cases. I mean, it's like you take, you know, you give them 2-3 years back, their energy level comes back, their appetite comes back. But, you know, just dogs by their nature, they just keep going. They don't, you know, they just keep going, and they may be somewhat affected, but you get it taken care of, and in a lot of cases, you'll be amazed at how much better they feel.
Okay, Gary?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. There's your pathway, brother. All right. Hey, Ben, let's start about talking about starting any type of hunting dog puppy. Some of your recommendations, you've trained all kinds of breeds, you know, like myself, but you've been a pro at it for many, many years. Gaminess is one thing I think is definitely at the top of the list. Exposure to different things, socializing, humanizing the dog. One thing I think you and Kurt and I have in common is we hate the thought of dogs that are thrown in a kennel early in their stage of life and aren't humanized properly. And Ben, you and Rita actually take the puppies into the home and do that. Talk about that, Ben.
Yeah, a lot of times. Let me give you the this gun shy thing. I looked it up here. It's only $6.95 for a CD, and it's called Master's Voice Gun Shy Tape, and you can get it at Gun Dog Supply. But getting to your question there, we take them in, and if we get full on taking them in, we try to find somebody that'll do that, that has a knowledge of where we're headed with it, and it makes all the difference in the world. I think you could probably go back over the champions that we had, especially the national champions. And I think all of them were house broke and were personal dogs. They, you know, they just kind of understand it. And I think that's a must. And I'm harping on this electric collar. I've used it a lot over the years, and I've been known to be particularly good with it. But there's too many people grabbing that thing and using it just for everything. You know, he ran over there and I didn't want him to. You know, they hit him. He pees and I don't want it to. They hit him. What, you know, just whatever. And, you know, in our case, we might use them to reinforce a dog being steady, which is to sit or drop to the shot and not go after a retrieve until he's sent. You teach them that without a collar, and then you might back yourself up once or twice. But most dogs are not going to take that torment over and over and over. And I just think that these things have become so popular that they call them stimulators and e-collars and all of that. And I understand why they do that for marketing, but people are just, you know, guys will show up. The one guy showed up. He had no idea, really, of what a hunting dog was about. But he had this collar on the dog, and it never came off. And I didn't have enough sense to recognize it because it was a little flat. It wasn't big as a box of matches on his thing there. And I thought, what the heck is that? He said, oh, it's my e-collar. Yeah, you're ruining this dog with the e-collar. They're a great tool, just fantastic when you use them correctly, but used by a novice without a pro being around, I don't recommend it. I really don't.
Well, to your point, Ben, too many folks get those in their hands and it becomes a punishment tool instead of a training tool. And anytime you lose your temper with a dog, I don't care if it's with an electric collar or whatever the case may be, to the point you made earlier in the program, you're out of control. The dog's doing whatever the dog's going to do, and you have not properly trained or taught the dog to do what you want it to do. And an electric collar is not the answer to that kind of a problem.
No, it's just a reinforcement. They got to be trained first, and then you limit yourself to the reinforcement. You just can't. The cockers probably have taught me more about overuse than the springers ever did, because they, in particular, they just don't want anything to do with it, and very little, you know. So it stays in the truck. It used to go on every dog every trip out, just in case. But not with the cockers. They can't do that. And the springers don't handle it as well as, say, a pointer.
Right.
But the one that really taught me how the guy was causing himself a lot of problems was the English pointer. I thought, man, every time he calls that dog's name, I don't care if he's out there 60 yards, he turns. I was doing that, you know, and I didn't know he had the collar on him. I didn't recognize it. because he had a collar and a couple of a regular collar and
the downside to that is sooner or later the dog learns it can get away with murder when the collar's not on. We got to go to news break here, folks. This break is presented by Mossy Oak Properties, Hart Realty. Check their listings out at mophartrealty.com. Hey, we're back with professional dog trainer Ben Martin and Kurt Oliver from Linden Animal Clinic. We're talking all things dogs. Number 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. Let's go to Tom, who's been on hold from Spencer County. Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir. This is for Dr. Oliver. I just want to know what his professional opinion is about this Celestro collar for flea and ticks. It's very expensive, but is it worth it? You know, I was in the animal health business for years, and I've been out of it for several years, and I just wondered what is the veterinarian's opinion on that particular flea and tick collar. I know there's a program you have to go through and all that, but still, what's your professional opinion, please?
Well, I've used them on my own dogs, if that tells you anything. And actually, if you cost it out on a month-to-month basis for flea and tick control, it's probably the cheapest one on the market because the collar's good for 8 months. It's not affected by water. It's actually just, you know, there's topicals, there's orals, there's so many different flea and tick combinations out there. It makes your head spin. But it's actually just a different delivery method. The friction, heat and friction of it being on the dog is what causes it to release. You could theoretically take it off the dog. You know, if you buy one in, you know, October and you don't need it on in the wintertime, you can seal it in a Ziploc bag, put it back in the can that it comes with and put it back on them in the spring. It was very effective for me. I've used them on my cats and, you know, cats are much more sensitive to chemicals like that than dogs are. I use it on my cats. Go ahead.
What is the active in that? What is the active ingredient in that?
I think it is selenectin, maybe.
Not
ivermectin derivative. It is a related compound, let's say, but it's not ivermectin. No.
Okay. What about on small dogs? We have a Havanese, very small little girl. You know,
yeah.
She's about 5 years old.
I've got one that weighs
like
8 pounds. I've got one that weighs
8 pounds.
And actually, the small dog collar and the cat collar are exactly the same collar. They're just one box has a cat on it, one has a dog on it. I've been happy with them.
Well, good. Thank you.
Tom, to answer your question, that's what Jimbo uses on his dogs, and I've had great results as well. Let's go to Richard, who's calling from Mount Washington. Hey, Richard.
Hey, I got a quick question about a dog. My wife's got a Minpin, doesn't like to really be handled, you know, doesn't like his nails trimmed, doesn't like going to the vet. And so she's got some medium-sized ponies where the vet gives us, it's a different vet, gives us some paste and then some shots so that the ponies can get, the farrier can come in and trim their hooves because they don't like to be handled either. Is there something that for dogs that we can give before we take it to the vet where they're nice and mellowed out without actually going under?
Well, one thing is the cilio that I was about, I don't know if you heard the first hour there for thunderstorms and things, that works. There's various things you can try. The thing about it is with dogs, you know, you give them some type of sedative and then they get into the hospital and their adrenaline starts rolling and they kind of can override it a little bit, you know, and then, you know, you get yourself, you know, you get it done and then they go home and fall asleep. But the cilio, it does work well. And it's a paste that you give it into the cheek pouch. It's absorbed mucosally. It's very safe. You'd probably give it an hour before the appointment, that type of thing. But, you know, we just try to, we get dogs that are, you know, that they're fearful. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, my technicians and myself and the other doctors, we try to be as calming as possible, and you go real slow with them. Sometimes you don't get it all done the first time, but you know, you get one in there and you try to muscle them, and you know, really, you know, they really get upset, and you try to restrain them more. The harder you restrain them, the more upset they get. You're just creating a bigger problem the next time they come in. So, you know, it can be kind of a process, but you know, men pens are tough. I mean, I'll give you that. Men pens are men pens. They got attitude. But you know, the cilio would probably be what I would try.
And what's it called again?
Cilio, S-I-L-E-O. It's okay. Used for noise aversion, you know, thunderstorms, fireworks, that type of thing. But it does take the edge off of them a little bit.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All righty. Hey, Ben, we were talking about acclimating dogs to guns and whatnot. Talk a little bit about introducing dogs to game and your thoughts about it. As you know, I'm big on introducing them early and building the fire to where they're just at the edge of being out of control, because my theory has always been I can bring them back, but I can't create fire.
Yeah, most of the time people, when they get a puppy, and it's good to spend, at least a couple of weeks just getting him used to you and you to him or her. But then it seems to me like the majority of people, and it's a disease that Kurt couldn't even treat it. I call it chain link disease. Or they just don't get in the program. You know, they don't work the dog. So if you're going to get that dog started, you know, with spaniels, the first thing you want to do is just play retrieve. And I'm a little bit of tennis ball goes a long way with me. I'm kind of anti tennis ball, but that's okay for openers. But you want to get something with feathers on it. One case we had here that the dog would retrieve one of those big tennis balls. I guess they're not a tennis ball, but one of the bigger ones. And that's all he would retrieve. He wouldn't go near a bird. So I cut the seams out of that and put a dead pigeon inside of that with the tail and the head sticking out, and taped it back and broke that dog to retrieving. But that's just a side story. But at any rate, you got to get them, retrieving, and you move on from there. We actually have, a videotape that we sell. We've been selling it for years. And it walks through the introduction to game, introduction to gunfire, and shows a lot of force training on the table. And anybody could look us up at royalkennels.net if they was interested in that. And we've sold, you know, I used to sell the puppies, and people would keep me on the phone for hours in the evening. And I told Rita, I said, hey, they're just tying me up. And I went to a seminar up in Columbus, and this guy was, when they'd ask a bunch of questions, he'd sell them a tape. I said, that's what I got to do. So the tape is very helpful. And, you know, we made enough money off of it to pay for the darn thing, but it's really helpful and that kind of stuff. But to do nothing, you don't have to be the smartest trainer in the world if you'll spend 10 or 20 minutes a day doing the retrieving, walking on a lead, and reeling them back into you, you know. You get probably the number one problem with retrieving is dogs that don't want to bring it in. Well, put a light check cord on them and just gently reel them in. You know, everything has to be fun the first 6, 7, 8 months, you know. But don't wait till they're a year old and the guy will say, dog is way too young to train. No, it isn't either. These little boogers and people have surprised me. They'll bring a 10-week-old dog in here and blow the whistle and it'll sit down. And I go, hey, I'm missing something here. So earliest you can start, And a lot of people these days are putting them on platforms or boards. Actually, I got a plastic Zumba board, and you can teach that dog to sit on that thing, and you can be anywhere and tell him to place and point to that, and he'll go sit down on it. So those kinds of things are really neat. You can do it in any kind of weather, and it don't take a lot of time. That'd be my recommendation.
Well, the important thing is you're building a relationship with the dog, and it understands that. It builds that eagerness to please, and all dogs are not all dogs, but the vast majority of dogs enjoy pleasing their masters. That's the critter that they evolved into from wolves back when the wolf became a dog.
Well, Kurt, probably the most well-behaved dog, one of the most well-behaved dogs I've ever owned. And I was in college, and I didn't know anything about training the dog, but I was with him 24 hours a day. And we'd go out in the backyard every day, and I'd make him sit, and I'd make him stay. Everything went off of sit and stay. He's 2 years old. I could go anywhere with him off lead. But it was time. You know,
and that's the thing, Benny, to your point, the chain link disease you're talking about is too much time in a kennel without any attention.
Right.
It'll ruin any kind of dog, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, right. Some people get a little macho about, say, a coon hound. I don't care what kind of dog you got. If you're hands-on, spending time, and he knows when you say, come here, and, you know, they just develop that relationship, and they'll all do it. I don't care what breed it is. With few exceptions, they all love to be around people. So I highly recommend in having that close relationship.
Like Kurt just said, it's in their DNA. Guys, I got to go this last break. This break is presented by SMI Marine. Go see them. They'll take great care of you. And remember, you never get soaked at SMI. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors. Guys, we got about 6 minutes left in the program. Two things on my mind. Heat. Dog's exposure to heat, especially in the field, Ben Martin, that's something you have to stay abreast of. Precautions that you would give to folks that are perhaps, you know, trying to get their beagles in shape, or guys that are got their retrievers out working. If you can do water work, of course, that helps tremendously. But quick thoughts on that, Ben?
A thought and a question for the doc. I was told we carry a water tub, and my truck holds 40 gallon. We fill the tub, so right after their session, heck, they're back to the truck sloshing around in that thing before I get there. And that seems to work. I've used it for years and years and years, but I was told just a while back that it's not a good idea if a dog looked like he's wobbly and going into a little bit of a heat shock, not to toss him in the cold water or any water. And I'll ask the doctor if he
follows that. I'll just give you my experience, Ben. You know, when I see one come in, you know, you got to get their temperature down. You know, I mean, that's number one. And, you know, we'll put them in a tub, and we won't use ice water, but, you know, I'll just start on their head and their extremities, you know, the blood, you know, their vasculature is close to the skin. They blow off a lot of heat through their head. But, you know, you wet them down because you have to get the temperature down or, you know, you're in real trouble. You know, just with people that I'm dealing with, just pet owners, you know, I guess the biggest thing I could say is just pay attention. You know, and it doesn't take, you know, one of the worst heat stroke cases I ever saw was on an 83 degree day, but it was in the, you know, late spring. It had been in the, you know, 60s for weeks, and all of a sudden we pop up with this sunny 83 degree day, and it was a little Boston Terrier, which dogs with you know, short noses are more prone because they blow off their heat through their respiration, and they have their respiration issues anyway, just because of their anatomy. But it wasn't a day that you would think heat stroke. And you know, that was one of the worst ones I ever saw. But you know, this time of year, when you're walking your dog, it's early in the morning or after dark, and humidity is a factor, because they're blowing off the heat through their respiration, but it's still evaporative cooling. And if it's really, really humid outside and the air is as humid as their breath is, then the evaporation is not near as effective. So, you know, I still am one that, you know, like in your situation, you're out in the field, you don't have a whole lot of choice. There's no other way to get the temperature down than to get them wet and let that evaporation start happening all over their body.
We actually keep an old farm tub out there, one of those long tubs. And with the rainfall, it rains that full, and I got like a bicycle flag that marks that thing. If there's anybody there that gets in trouble, they know to go to that water. But I heard that the other day, and I thought, boy, that goes against all I've ever heard.
Well, it goes against my field experience with dogs, Benny. I tell you that. As you know, I've had several Springers and a Boykin, and they were dove dogs, and as such, they were hunted in horrible heat conditions. But I've always used a wash tub. I carried jerry cans of water around with me, and they, to your point, they knew when to go get in it. I didn't have to tell them.
Right. But I mean,
well, you saw it at that dove hunt we had the one day there. I had a tub beside the truck, and I would switch dogs pretty often because it was very hot. But they come and lay in the tub of water while we waiting on the next shot. So
yep.
Some days I don't give them much work, though. I don't hit nothing.
We've all had those days.
Yeah.
I'm like my
right.
He said, I'm not half the man I used to be. Truth be known, I never was.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to close that with ticks. You got to protect your dogs against ticks. There's two reasons for that. First is Lyme disease will rim-wreck a dog's career, longevity, same maladies that we get. Secondarily, they pass it on to you if they're carrying ticks and they're a house dog. And, you know, the tick leaves the dog as a host and attaches to you, then you're in trouble. Ivermectin works on worms. But a lot of old country boys think it works on ticks.
It does not.
Tell us it loud and proud, Doc.
It does not work on ticks. It doesn't work on fleas or ticks.
So, words of wise. Guys, great program. Really appreciate your input. You both played a big part in my life. I'm grateful for that. Folks, we'll be here next week. Same time, same place. God bless everybody.
It's Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.